20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Happy Monday, Packers fans. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm recording this a little bit earlier on Sunday than I normally would because we are in the midst of a snowstorm here in the Green Bay area, and I'm worried I'm going to lose power at some point, so I want to try to get this recorded and uploaded as soon as I can. So usually I wait till the end of the day just in case there's any sort of news or updates. So I have no news or updates for you, at least early on this Sunday afternoon. And more importantly, today we're going to be going over some free agent and trade targets that Green Bay could still look at in free agency ahead of the draft. There could be some possibility that some of these players have already been signed in the afternoon or late afternoon or night on Sunday. So if so, my apologies in advance, but I assume that the majority of these players will still be available on Monday as well, and that my episode won't be completely undercut by any late Sunday news, fingers crossed. Hope you guys did have a great weekend. Hopefully all of you who are in the midst of that snowstorm in the Wisconsin and upper Michigan areas got through it okay. I hope you guys are all safe and everything's going all right. We right now have about 8 to 9 inches of snow, and we're supposed to get about 12 inches more. So it's going to be a ton of fun. As soon as I'm done here, I'm going to go out and snowblow the first round, and I probably have 2 or 3 rounds still ahead of me. So wish me luck with that. Enough about snow, enough about me. Let's talk about the Green Bay Packers, and more specifically, some targets that Green Bay can still go after in a, let's be honest, very, very, very picked over free agency class. It is remarkable that if you're listening to this on Monday morning or even early Monday afternoon, we are not even a full week since the free agency legal tampering period opened, and yet everything is basically just a nuclear wasteland if you are looking for valuable free agents. Really, the last one to kind of come off the board was Rashid Walker. That's not to say that there aren't deals to be found. That's not to say that there aren't players that you can find to help your team, but the vast majority of top-tier talent is already off the board. But today we're going to be looking at who could still come over either via free agency or trade that could help Green Bay to fill some gaps. Because as we've talked about, I'm not trying to be bitter or pessimistic. We have a long way to go till the start of the season. There is still free agency left. There is still a draft. There is still that, you know, sort of trade period right after or during the draft where some players get moved. And then another round of sort of remaining free agency where no comp picks count after that. You get some movements during cutdown time and some trades during that. There's, you know, practice squad acquisitions during the season. We saw that happen with Rasul Douglas. And of course, the trade deadline as well. There's plenty of time to still upgrade this team. As Brian Gutekunst always talks about, it's a 365 day a year process. At this point in previous free agencies, Green Bay had not picked up Devondre Campbell, and he ended up being a first team all pro in the year that they picked him up. They had not yet picked up Rasul Douglas off of a practice squad, and he ended up being a really good starter for them at corner. And just last year, they had not yet traded for Micah Parsons. So before I'm going to say what I'm about to say, there's a lot of ball game left, as Aaron Nagler would say, when it comes to free agency and upgrading this roster. But all the questions that we had going into this offseason period before free agency of where Green Bay has question marks, backup quarterback, really depth and talent and competition along the offensive line, a blocking tight end, a nose tackle, a run stuffing defensive tackle, depth on the interior defensive line, another pass rusher, assuming that Gary and Enagbare were going to be gone. They are another pass rusher on the edge, cornerback depth and competition. All of those questions still remain. Even getting guys like Javon Hargrave, you brought him in, but you lost to Colby Wooden. An upgrade, yes, but you're basically replacing one for one. You haven't answered any of those other questions specifically at nose tackle, right? At corner, yes, you brought in Benjamin St. Juste. You released Nate Hobbs, maybe an upgrade there, but you went one for one. You haven't added anything new outside of that. And on the offensive line, yes, you re-signed Sean Ryan, but you did lose Rashid Walker. You lost Elton Jenkins. So you're still sort of in a net negative there too. Even on the moves that they've made, there are still holes on those specific roster spots within Green Bay. So plenty of questions still out there for Green Bay, plenty of opportunity to still upgrade this roster. And that's what we're going to try to accomplish today is by looking at some of those players that could do exactly that for Green Bay. Number one, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this because we've talked about it before. I do think that if you're looking to add the most realistic, talented player to this roster that you could still add, I think it's Josh Sweat. I think trading for Josh Sweat makes a ton of sense. He wanted to play with Jonathan Gannon. He went to Arizona specifically for that reason. Jonathan Gannon just so happens to be in Green Bay. As mentioned, Green Bay did lose Rashawn Gary and Kingsley Enagbare. Micah Parsons is probably going to miss a portion of the beginning of the season and maybe on a snap count after that. And he just brings in a real legitimate edge player to go along LVN, Micah Parsons. And right now, yes, you have Brenton Cox, you've got Colin Oliver, you've got Baron Sorrell, but you're missing that sort of top tier player that if there is an injury that you could still have as a starter, he's going to be a premium pass rusher for you opposite of Micah Parsons. And it gives you a bunch of sub option or sub down options as well, or sub package options, I should say, with either Sweat or LVN or both, or Micah moving inside. You can just do so many fun things with that group. So Josh Sweat to me remains one that I think is semi-realistic and would upgrade this roster in the most significant way. It doesn't answer your run stuffing interior defensive line questions. It doesn't answer your cornerback questions. Although if you do have a Josh Sweat, it certainly makes your cornerback job easier potentially by getting another pass rusher on the line. It doesn't answer your offensive line questions. Defensive end, theoretically, I think can still be good enough even without Sweat if Micah's healthy, but it adds a big time player and another legitimate pass rusher. And as we know, you can never have enough of those. And we know he's a scheme fit with Jonathan Gannon too. I've talked about it from a trade comp standpoint. I think it's a third. Osa Odighizuwa went for a third. I would put Odighizuwa as a defensive tackle in the same category that Josh Sweat is at edge, like a really good player at that, you know, position. And Odighizuwa just went for a three. So Sweat going for something similar makes sense. That's probably a little rich for my blood. If it's a day three, anything fourth round or better, I would totally do it. If it's anything in the second, first round range, I'd be totally out. Third round is right around where it's like, it's a little rich. Could we get, you know, a third for Sweat in a fifth, a third for Sweat in a sixth? Is there something like that could work? Or, you know, could you throw in a Dontavian Wicks or a Carl Brooks or something like that to make it so that it's a fourth or a fifth instead? I think anything in that realm or range would make all the sense in the world for Green Bay. Whether Arizona would do it, that remains to be seen. I'm sure Sweat would be open again to playing with Jonathan Gannon. That's where he wants to play in the past. I'm sure he'd like to do that again. But these things are complicated. Trades always are. And if, you know, who knows if Sweat is interested in playing in Green Bay. We don't know the answers to all those things, but if you're looking for a, what I think is mostly realistic option for Green Bay to upgrade this roster, Josh Sweat would be the first thing that I'd be looking at right now. Of course, we do still have nose tackle questions along the defensive line for your Green Bay Packers. And so who's available? Who could Green Bay still go out and get that would add to that room? And there has been an interesting sort of dynamic change here where, because Rashid Walker went for less than we expected, instead of now losing a fifth round comp pick, which would have been for Quay Walker, if you sign somebody that, like we're about to talk about, instead of losing a fifth, you're probably now only going to lose a sixth round pick because Rashid Walker went for a whole heck of a lot less than we expected. So it's either going to be Enagbare or Rashid getting that sixth round pick that you would lose signing a free agent. So let's say DJ Reader, for example. Before, if you were going to sign DJ Reader, it was going to be like, well, do you want to give up a future fifth round comp pick for that? Maybe the answer was no. Maybe the answer was still yes. Maybe they would have been fine with it. But now if you're just losing a 2027 sixth round pick for signing a player in free agency, it's probably not as bad. It's not as harsh. It doesn't feel as like, oh, that's a huge pick to lose or anything like that. So if they do go out and sign DJ Reader to a 1 year, $10 million or less deal, it just cancels out a sixth round pick next year. It's not the end of the world. So I do think that has to be a little bit more palatable for Green Bay. So DJ Reader would be the number one I'm looking at right now. Here's the thing. I expected Reader to get maybe $6 or $7 million on a 1 year deal, and maybe he still does. But Dalvin Tomlinson just went 1 year, $7.5 million, and he was way worse than DJ Reader was a season ago. So if I'm DJ Reader, I'm certainly not taking anything less than Dalvin Tomlinson just got. And where is that mark? And here's again where you have to, is it 1 year 10? Is it 1 year 10 million? And if so, are you willing to give $10 million for DJ Reader plus a sixth round pick next year to sign him? I still think you have to fix this spot in some way, shape, or form. And DJ Reader is the best true nose tackle that's still available out there. If I have to do it, I have to do it. I don't want to get to the draft and be like, I have to take a nose tackle or we're just screwed. And if all of a sudden, by the way, there's really two names on here, DJ Reader and Daquan Jones. If those two players go off the board, and specifically Reader, and you don't get one via the draft, and even if you get one, there's no guarantee that a drafted player is going to be able to come in and help you right away. You're talking about Jonathan Ford and Nazir Stackhouse or really, you know, grasping at straws to try to fill that spot. Unless they're just not going to go 3-4 and not play a true nose. Even in a 4-3, you would like to have that run-stuffing defensive tackle. But it gets very barren very fast if all of a sudden Reader's off the board. So I would be attacking DJ Reader pretty aggressively, even if it does cost me that six-round comp pick, even if it is $10 million on a one-year deal or something like that. I'm going after it, and that's what I'd be looking at right now for Green Bay. Daquan Jones is the other one. Jones still a really good run stuffer. I think he could help you out as well. I wish they probably would have been a little bit more involved in the, you know, David Onyemata sort of market. I think he could have helped quite a bit as well, but this is what you have left to work with. So DJ Reader, Daquan Jones, the two I'd be looking at. And then elsewhere on the interior defensive line, not a true nose tackle, but Calais Campbell. If you are moving to 3-4, bringing in Calais Campbell as a 3-4 defensive end, could probably play a couple nose tackle snaps for you here and there, but he's primarily that. He can play a little bit on the edge. He can do a little bit of everything. He can block kicks. We've talked about it. Yes, he's 40 years old. I don't care. Good is good. Calais Campbell is good. I don't care if he's 40, 60, 20, 30. It doesn't matter to me. If you're good at what you do, if you're great at what you do, that's all that matters. And Calais Campbell has been, even going back to last year at age 39, still doing all the stuff that helps you win football games. Scheme fit, played with Jonathan Gannon, coming over from Arizona, probably is wanting that Super Bowl opportunity. Would be a really fun piece alongside, you know, Micah Parsons and I think Javon Hargrave as well as LVN. I think there's some fun things that you could do with that. Devontae Wyatt. So I would be all in on Calais Campbell. Just doesn't ultimately solve your problem of needing a run stuffy nose tackle, but he's a good run defender. As I mentioned, he can do a little bit of everything. So I still think he would help you on the interior of the defensive line, but probably doesn't answer your two question of what are we going to do for a run stuffy nose tackle type player. But three interior defensive linemen, DJ Reader, Daquan Jones, and Calais Campbell. I also have a defensive tackle trade that I think makes a lot of sense. And that is for Harrison Phillips. New York Jet, he's been traded a couple times. The Harrison Phillips trade last year, I meant to look this up ahead of time, so I apologize for not doing it in advance. Thankfully, I can type quick. In 2025, the Minnesota Vikings traded veteran tackle, defensive tackle Harrison Phillips to the New York Jets for a 2026 sixth-round pick and a 2027 sixth-round pick, while also sending a 2027 seventh-round pick to New York. All right, so it was basically Phillips and a seventh for 2/6 is what the Phillips trade was just a year ago. That's not a ton. If it costs you a fifth or a sixth to go get a Harrison Phillips from the Jets, remember they've brought in some new pieces, including Tavondre Sweat along that interior, that defensive line. They've brought in a bunch of new defensive ends. They may not need Harrison Phillips the way that they needed to in the past. So he could be available via trade, and I think he'd make a ton of sense. He's 6'3", 307. He can play a little bit of that nose tackle. He can play some 3-4 defensive end. He could play, certainly would fit well next to Devontae Wyatt as well as Javon Hargrave in a 4-3 if they somehow stayed in a 4-3. He had a 72.5 PFF grade on 692 snaps, only 11 pressures, but a 76.1 run defense grade. He's a grinder. He is a true run-stopping technician, and I think, again, that's exactly what Green Bay needs, and I think the cost would be very, very easy to absorb with a late day three sort of draft pick going into that trade for Phillips from the New York Jets. So that's a trade that I actually think makes logical sense for the Packers. The contract isn't terrible. So if you wanted to do that, if you didn't want to get in the DJ Reader or Daquan Jones conversations, Harrison Phillips easily could make sense for the Packers in a trade. We'll be right back. Next up, moving to the offensive side of the ball, and more specifically, offensive line. I want to start with guard. If I'm Green Bay, I understand the desire to go Jordan Morgan left tackle, Aaron Banks left guard, Sean Ryan center, Anthony Belton at right guard, and then Zach Tom at right tackle. That fits, and we hear Goody and Matt LaFleur talk about all the time how in order for players to get better, young players to get better, they have to get out there and play. And I'm specifically talking about Anthony Belton here. If Anthony Belton's really going to own that right guard position, make it his and be a really good starter for a long time, he needs reps, he needs snaps, he needs to get in there and get better. That all sounds great, but you're trying to win a Super Bowl this year. And so if I'm Green Bay, I'm looking at one-year mercenaries to go in and compete with Anthony Belton for that starting right guard job and sort of mentor him as well. Just a one-year veteran, you know, deal, probably $3, $4, $5, maybe $6 million to come in and try to be the starting guard for this season to help you win a Super Bowl. And, you know, even if there's an injury, then Belton goes in, but Belton can sort of go under this player's wing and watch how they play, watch how they grind. And if Belton beats him out, great. Now you have great depth too. But if not, Belton can give you depth at tackle. He can give you depth at guard. And it gives you another bench player that can come in and really help you if you need it. The players that I'm looking at here that are still out there that I would at least try to inquire about if I were Green Bay. Joel Bitonio from the Cleveland Browns. He's 34 years old. Injuries have caught up with him. And he might not have a ton left in the tank. That's okay. I'm not signing him to be the guaranteed starter. I'm signing him to come in and compete for a championship team for a starting right guard spot with a second year player who struggled a season ago, making that acclimation to NFL right guard. Let's see if he can beat him out. And I'm sure Bitonio would love the opportunity to play for a championship contending team and show that he still has something left in the tank. Almost the exact same conversation for Wyatt Teller, 31 years old, coming over from the Cleveland Browns, a little bit younger. But super, super talented guard, a little bit of a grinder and a mauler in the run game. And he, again, hasn't played his best football. He's been a little bit beat up, but have the opportunity to come in for a championship contending team to compete for that right guard spot with Anthony Belton. I would be interested in that as well. The one that I think makes all the sense is Kevin Zeitler coming over from the Tennessee Titans. Still played at a very high level on a really bad Tennessee Titans team that had to go through a coaching change midseason, whose offensive line around him was falling apart. Kevin Zeitler at age 35 was still playing really, really good football for the Titans. So do you got 1 year left in the tank to come and play right guard for Green Bay for, again, a championship contending team? Take Anthony Belton under your wing, get him ready to go for 2027. I would love a Kevin Zeitler signing for Green Bay at right guard 1 year. Just get 1 year left. And again, if he goes down with an injury or something, so be it. Belton goes in. But I think that makes sense. And then Chris Paul, a little bit different. He's not as good, but he played pretty good football for Washington last year. He's only 27 years old, too. I'm actually pretty surprised that he hasn't been picked up yet. And I think he's just a legitimate competitor at right guard for Anthony Belton. May the best man win. He's only 27. You could even sign Chris Paul to like a 2-year deal if you wanted to and say, hey, this is it. And if you know, Belton wins, great. Now you have Chris Paul to kind of fill in for you at either guard position if somebody goes down. But he'd be another one that I look at. So four backup guards, or I shouldn't say backups, but competing guards for that right guard spot with Belton. Veteran players who have started in this league: Joel Bitonio, Wyatt Teller, Kevin Zeitler, and Chris Paul. Next category. I hope this isn't a thing, all right? I hope they don't even have to go in this bucket whatsoever. I don't know the situation. Green Bay should know it better. But what I'm calling this bucket of players is Zach Tom insurance. Zach Tom is coming off a pretty significant injury that has been a devastating injury for offensive linemen. Now, he had a partial tear. He did not have a full tear. And when I asked Brian Gutekunst at his press conference to kick off the offseason or to end the season, however you want to look at it, one of the first thing I had the opportunity to ask him is, what is the prognosis for Zach Tom? And is he going to be able to go to start the season? And he seemed very confident that Zach Tom is ready to go for the start of the regular season. He said he's going to be out an extended period of time. He's going to miss time of the offseason program. But as far as the regular season is concerned, he should be good to go. That is a massive sign. Like, I cannot even begin to tell you how huge that is for Green Bay if that's true and if that is the case. If there is any concern for a player coming off a significant injury that Zach Tom is going to either struggle with this or could have a setback or that he might not be ready to go to start the season, you have to take a real look at some right tackle options that give you starting caliber play. Because right now, it'd be Darian Kennard right now, and I would not feel comfortable with that if all of a sudden he had to be your starting right tackle for 2026. Just look at it this way. If all of a sudden Tom would be like out for, you know, 8 weeks or something, 10 weeks, you cannot win enough at a high enough level if your offensive line next year is Jordan Morgan, Aaron Banks, Sean Ryan, Anthony Belton, and Darian Kennard. It's just not going to be good enough. Even if a couple of those players take a step and they all stay healthy, whatever, I just think that you are fighting a very uphill battle with that as your starting group. So if you feel like it is a issue at all, or that you might need a little Zach Tom insurance, here's my bucket of players. Cam Robinson, Jaguars, Vikings, Texans, Browns. He's been a little bit of a mercenary lately, kind of filling in that spot when an offensive tackle has gone down in preseason or during the course of the season. He's either been traded for or picked up. If Green Bay feels, again, that Zach Tom can't go, Cam Robinson could be an insurance policy there. Taylor Decker, I don't think Taylor Decker is going to sign an insurance policy sort of contract, and he probably would go for way more than Green Bay would want to give. You would have to literally probably get the news that Zach Tom is out for the year, that he's just not, like, he had a setback and he's probably not going to be able to go for 2027 or 2026. And I don't even want to speak that into existence. But if you did, you could look at Decker at right tackle, or you could put Decker at left tackle and move Jordan Morgan over to right tackle, where he played pretty well a season ago. But again, it would probably have to be a guaranteed starting spot before Decker would sign, but he would be another option. Juwan Taylor, who the Chiefs released, he would be another opportunity again to come in and start and be that right tackle if you felt Zach Tom was going to miss some significant time. And then Jonah Williams for the Bengals and Cardinals. He's been an up and down career, but he would at least give you another veteran option to fill in for that spot if needed. I'll say it one more time. Hopefully they do not have to be involved in that bucket of players whatsoever. But again, if Green Bay's starting to feel like, you know what, Zach Tom's giving me a little trepidation of whether or not he's going to be able to go for the season or the start of the season, that would be a group of players that you should at least consider to give you some of that Zach Tom insurance. So Cam Robinson, Taylor Decker, Juwan Taylor, and Jonah Williams. Next up, we've got our backup quarterback conversation. You know many of these names. We'll go through them relatively quick. Anthony Richardson from the Colts sounds like a day three pick would go in return. There's a couple of things that are unique about Anthony Richardson that's a little bit different than Malik Willis. From a play style standpoint and where they're at in their career, it's pretty similar. But the difference is Richardson makes more money because he was an early first round pick. So you're going to take, I think it's like $5 or $6 million for Richardson this year. The other thing is Richardson only has 1 year left on his deal. Certainly you're not going to pick up a fifth year option or anything like that. So only has 1 year left on his deal, where Willis, when you acquired him, had 2 years left. I think Richardson is immensely talented and would be able to do a lot of the things that Malik Willis has been able to do the last couple of years. He gives you a legit running option. He is a deep ball specialist. He throws an unbelievable ball down the field, and he's got a laser rocket arm for days. I think you could build an offense around Anthony Richardson if you needed it for a handful of games if Jordan Love was down. And Jordan Love has been down for a few games every now and then through the course of the last few seasons. So I would be all for it. But again, just noteworthy, it's a little bit more expensive than Willis was, both in from a salary standpoint. And then also I'll just say, again, 1 year left on the contract instead of two that you got when you acquired Malik Willis. Will Levis is very similar to the Malik Willis conversation coming over from the Titans. He's super cheap. He's only got about $2 million left on his deal, and he's a good young developmental quarterback. Will Levis is the one that I've talked about. I'm not a huge Will Levis guy. I don't think he's very good. I wouldn't want to make him my starting quarterback, but I do think what Green Bay is looking at for cheap, again, meaning only $2 million this year, talented, you know, he does have some upside still, and probably very cheap draft compensation, probably like a seventh round pick. I do think Will Levis fits a lot of the things that Green Bay would be looking for. And for that point, I think Levis would make all the sense in the world. What you could get out of him, you know, everyone may have a different thought on that, but Levis would be somebody I'd be totally fine in targeting. Kirk Cousins. If you get him on a 1 year vet minimum to come in and be your backup, it'd feel weird. I don't know how I'd feel about former Minnesota Vikings quarterback, and you like that Kirk Cousins being on the Packers, but if you're looking for a legitimately good backup quarterback that can give a veteran in the room for Jordan Love as well, not that he needs it, but you can never have enough of those guys in your locker room. Sure. I would be fine with it. I would have no issue. I think he would give you one of your best backup quarterback options. And again, if Jordan was out for, you know, 3-4 games, I feel like Kirk Cousins could go 2-2. And that's all you're asking for out of your backup quarterback. Maybe even 3-1 if you got the right stretch of games, and certainly would be able to come in and run the offense at a high level. So no issue there if you wanted to go Kirk Cousins. Justin Fields would just depend on the price. If it's anything $5 million or less, sure. If it gets in that $10 to $12 million category, I'd be all the way out. Even $7 million would probably be, or $7 or $8 million would probably be a little bit too rich for my blood. But mobile quarterback can come in. I joked around, but I'm not even totally joking, and they may not need it with Sky Moore, but I actually think Justin Fields could do some kick returning for you if you really wanted him to. But he's a unique and fun player, would probably give you some dynamic. If you thought Malik Willis gave you some potential dynamic looks on some like 2-point plays and some wildcat stuff, Justin Fields is even more so than that. He's a fun player. There's no question about it. You can find winning plays with Justin Fields. It's just, if you're asking him to be your full-time quarterback, it's just too limited with what he can do passing wise in an NFL offense. But as a backup, as a stopgap, no issue with that. Tyrod Taylor is just like the 38-year-old version. You can get him on a 1 year, $5 million or less deal to come in and run your offense for a couple games if need be. Not as fun or flashy, but does have the experience and can run through a legitimate offense, both in the run game and the passing game, and kind of do what you need him to do. Joe Flacco could still be an option. He's an old man at this point, but he played good football, almost beat Green Bay a couple times, right, last year. So yeah, he's still a fun quarterback with what he can do. Veteran mentality, still a big arm, and can run your offense. You can't ask for much more than that. I think he's looking for a starting, you know, opportunity. I don't think he's going to get it, but maybe he just is in that, you know, mercenary role where he's going to stay out and not sign with anybody until there's a quarterback injury and some team needs a starter, and then he signs with them. But if you could get him as a backup, I wouldn't hate that. And I'll just throw a random one out there. You would need a number three quarterback that could actually come in and be a starter if need be. But as a backup quarterback on your game day roster, Taysom Hill is a little bit interesting still to me, where he could give you some H-back tight end, you know, sort of stuff. He could give you some wildcat looks. You can use him on special teams, personal punt protector, etc. And he could actually legitimately do, I think, some of the Malik Willis offense as a backup quarterback. Like, I'm not talking about, there's a difference here where on a, like, if Jordan Love goes down for 5 or 6 games or something, right? You don't want Taysom Hill coming in and being your backup quarterback. That's a bad thing to do. If Taysom Hill is your backup quarterback on game day and you've made it to the second half and Jordan goes down for a quarter, like just the rest of the game or whatever, and Taysom Hill has to come in and be your quarterback on game day, you can probably get through that a little bit. And your hope obviously is on any given game day that Jordan Love doesn't go out. And so the fact that you can use one of your 48-man players, your backup quarterback, but actually use him as an H-back, a tight end, a special teams player, and a wildcat quarterback and do some fun things with him, it's not the craziest thing in the world. But again, you'd actually have to have a backup that would be able to play if you lost Jordan Love for any specific period of time. But an interesting one nonetheless. Not an A1 option, but a unique one. So those are your backup quarterback options: Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, Tyrod Taylor, Joe Flacco, and Taysom Hill. We'll be right back. How about some edge depth? I've got 3 names for you. If you don't want to go with Josh Sweat, I think there's some players out there that you could sign. I've actually been a pretty big AJ Epenesa believer. I think he fits in very well into that number 3 defensive end role. You can also kick him inside a little bit. He could actually do some 3-4 defensive end stuff for you if you really needed him to as well. But I do think Epenesa would be a good fit. What the contract would be, that would be a little bit more interesting. Jadeveon Clowney, I still think he has just enough juice to come in and be that number 3 defensive end. He could probably be your starter opposite of LVN while Micah is out, and then transition into that number 3 role once Micah gets back. And then Anfernee Jennings, just released by the New England Patriots, so would not count against the comp pick formula. The beauty of Anfernee Jennings is he's a very good run defender that you could have in on early downs and then let Micah and LVN and those guys cook a little bit more on later downs. But Jennings could be an option for you as well that plays kind of like what Rashawn Gary ended up being. Rashawn Gary was still good at run defense last year, just couldn't provide much as a pass rusher. In this case, Gary still wanted to play pass rush snaps last year. With Jennings, you could pretty much specialize him as a run defender. Let's talk about some corners. This is the group that's just really obliterated at this point in time. And if you want a corner, good freaking luck. 3 names. Don't love any of them. Cam Taylor-Britt. He probably makes the most sense for a player who can come in, fit the scheme, has, you know, youth and upside still in his favor. It's fine. It's fine. It wouldn't move the needle if you can get him for 1 year, $3 million or something like that. Sure, go do it. That's, you can compete. Like Cam Taylor, if you told me that, you know, Keyshawn's, you may feel whatever way you want to feel about this, Keyshawn's probably going to be one of your starters. If you told me that you had a 3-way competition between Cam Taylor-Britt and Benjamin St. Juste and Carrington Valentine, and maybe a draft pick as well, if you said, hey, we're going to have an old school competition for that spot, awesome, so be it. And if you want to throw Keyshawn into that mix too and say, hey, it's a 4 or 5-man race for 2 spots, awesome, do it. You know Bullard's going to be in the slot. You know Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney are going to be your safeties. So just have all of those guys compete. Sure, go for it. Legarius Sneed, I'd be very wary. It would have to be a very minimal type of contract. He looked really, really bad in Tennessee. If you feel like you can get his career back on track, so be it. But this should be a very near vet minimum type signing if you're going to go with Legarius Sneed. And then the other one is Rasul Douglas. Sure, go for it. If you want to bring him in and see if he can, fill one of those spots. He was brutal in Buffalo 2 years ago and then played really good football for Miami a year ago. I don't know if there's any reason that Green Bay specifically wanted to get rid of Rasul. I don't know if there's a locker room thing. I don't know if Rasul is pissed off that Green Bay traded him away. I don't know if there's animosity or bad feelings there, but if there's not, then you could pick him up on a pretty cheap deal. I would have no issue with that either. But Cam Taylor-Britt, L'Jarius Sneed, and Rasul Douglas, probably the best three remaining cornerback options on the market for Green Bay. I do have a trade option at corner. I don't know if this team would be willing to do it, but Riley Moss for the Denver Broncos. They have, Moss is kind of a starter now, but they have Jahdae Barron, their first round pick from a year ago, that is needing a starting spot. Like, he needs to probably play. And Riley Moss is on the last year of his deal. There's the possibility that Denver could be willing to part with Riley Moss for the right trade. I don't know if you could look at some sort of Dontavian Wicks plus a pick or, you know, something like that. I don't know. But if I were Green Bay, I'd at least call about Riley Moss. And I think you could get to him being a starter in Green Bay and being able to fill a spot pretty well. He's not a high-end starter, but he's a good, solid player. There's a real legitimate world in which Riley Moss would be your best corner ahead of Keyshawn and anybody else, Carrington Valentine and Benjamin St. Juste. So yeah, if you could get him for a decent price and Denver just knowing that they might not be able to resign him next year, he'd be at least a player that I would call about. The next category I'm just putting as interesting. I don't think Green Bay would be involved in this. I don't think. And I don't even know if this player would be willing to be traded. Maybe if they're released. But I'm just going to say Alvin Kamara. They just went out and got Travis Achane. A-T-E-T-N is the old pronunciation. But Achane, I think, is the new one. If Kamara becomes available and you want that change of pace to Josh Jacobs and you want that player that can be super, you know, unique in the passing attack as well, I'd at least give a call. What does it take? Would Kamara be open to it? I think it's very unlikely, but if you want that Marshawn Lloyd type player and you can't trust Marshawn Lloyd, well, why don't you get the player that's done it as well as anybody in his career and Alvin Kamara, and then not even have to worry about the injury situation with Marshawn Lloyd. It's interesting. I just put it as interesting. It's probably a very, very unlikely, but interesting. I've got one more interior offensive line depth piece that I just wanted to throw out there. Austin Corbett, I think he's had a pretty solid career. I'm not talking about him coming in and competing like we talked about with some of those other interior offensive linemen. There's a chance he could compete with Belton at right guard, but I do think he gives you that swing interior offensive player on game days where if you need him at left guard, center, or right guard, maybe even tackle in a very serious pinch, Corbett can give it to you. He's got great versatility. He's had a pretty good career. I wouldn't be opposed to picking him up on a pretty, you know, near vet minimum deal and having him compete for a spot. You know, they've done this a little bit in the past with, like, it was younger, but a player like Andre Dillard. I think this just gives you a really smart option to come in and compete for a really good backup position in Green Bay and maybe even compete with Anthony Belton for that right guard spot. And then last but not least, I have four players that I will just target as dream trade scenarios. Extremely unlikely, but worth just chatting through nonetheless. I if I'm Green Bay, I'm 1,000,000,000% calling about Trent Williams. I've talked about this in the past. Don't need to beleaguer it because it's not going to happen. But if you want to talk about a player that would supercharge this team, it is Trent Williams. You start by having Trent Williams and Zach Tom at tackle. You have the best tackle duo in all of football, in my opinion. That's a great way to start your pass protection and your run blocking for Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs. I would be all in. I don't care what the cost would be from a financial standpoint. They can probably find a way to make it work. And I don't care that it might set back Jordan Morgan at left tackle. Go get what is still a top 10 offensive lineman in the league that can maul people in the run game and that doesn't allow any pressures unless he's going against Myles Garrett as a left tackle. He's phenomenal. He's one of the best offensive linemen I've ever seen play the game. You might only get 2 years out of him, maybe three, but I would absolutely at least have the conversation with San Francisco about Trent Williams. Jalen Carter is another one, Philadelphia Eagle. Probably not going to happen just based on what Green Bay would have to give up. It would take at least a first round pick. I don't think it would take that for Trent Williams, by the way. I think you could get Williams for less than it would be for Carter because of Williams' age and things like that. But Carter would take premium capital, and then you'd have to give him a probably record-breaking interior defensive lineman contract. I don't think Green Bay is going to have the ultimate appetite for that. But if he is actually available via trade, you at least have to contact Philly. It sounds like Green Bay maybe did. I don't expect anything to happen there, but would be a extremely fun player on the interior of the defensive line. then to Pittsburgh Steelers. I would call about Darnell Washington at tight end. Just think back to Mike McCarthy when he had a still extremely good run blocking tight end in Mercedes Lewis. McCarthy didn't use him. Like Goody picked up Mercedes Lewis and McCarthy basically ignored him during his time in Green Bay. And that's when Lewis was like expected to leave Green Bay after that. And then they brought in LaFleur, and LaFleur and Goody said like, no, we actually have a role for you this time. We're not going to just, you know, leave you at the curb and not play you. Like McCarthy would not play Mercedes Lewis. So now Washington's better now than Lewis was at that point. And Washington actually gives you a little something in the passing game, which Lewis again was not at that point in time. But if McCarthy looks at it and says, yeah, I don't really have that role in my offense, not anything significant, could you look at a Musgrave plus a pick for Darnell Washington and maybe give Musgrave to Pittsburgh and give Mike somebody that he could use a little bit more in his particular offense and bring Darnell Washington, somebody who I think would actually work much better with Tucker Kraft in Green Bay under Matt LaFleur's offense? Unlikely, but I'd at least make a phone call about it. And then we've talked about Keanu Benton as well. They have good interior defensive line depth in Pittsburgh. You know, could you find a way to make a trade work to get Keanu Benton to Green Bay? I think he'd be still a really good, you know, he didn't play his best football a year ago. I still think he's a really good player. I would be willing to take the chance on it and put him in as my 3-4 interior defensive tackle or nose tackle, however you want to view it, and kind of build the interior of the defensive line around him. A Benton, Hargrave, and Wyatt 3-4 interior defensive line, I think has the ability to be really fun and really good. Those are my options for Green Bay. One name that came up, I put it out there on Twitter of anybody else that people wanted to discuss. Dallas Goedert was a name that got brought up. I don't see that. I think you just have Luke Musgrave kind of run that same thing. Musgrave is younger. Goddard's better, but Goddard can't really run block for you either. I probably wouldn't have too much interest in that. But if you wanted to put Goddard on an interesting list alongside Alvin Kamara, sure, go for it. But I don't see that one for Green Bay. Just to recap it, Josh Sweat trade, interior defensive lineman DJ Reader, Daquan Jones, or Calais Campbell, a Harrison Phillips trade, some right guard competition, Joel Bitonio, Wyatt Teller, Kevin Zeitler, or Chris Paul, some Zach Tom insurance for Cam Robinson, Taylor Decker, Juwan Taylor, or Jonah Williams, backup QB, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, Tyrod Taylor, Joe Flacco, or Taysom Hill, some edge depth, AJ Epenesa, Jadeveon Clowney, or Anthony Jennings, cornerback competition, Cam Taylor, Britt, Legarius Sneed, or Rasul Douglas, a Riley Moss trade, interesting option in Alvin Kamara, interior offensive line depth in Austin Corbett, and then some dream trades, including Trent Williams, Jalen Carter, Darnell Washington, or Keanu Benton. The most likely scenario for Green Bay is I think they will try to target a backup quarterback. I do think they maybe get one more interior defensive lineman, either via trade or value free agency. Maybe they go after a Reader or a Daquan Jones. I think they'll then attack everything via the draft. And then after the draft, we'll reassess everything and see what spots they still need and how they can maybe take care of that in free agency or via trade after, from a free agency standpoint, after the comp pick formula no longer comes into play. That's what I got for you guys today. Thank you so much for joining me. Let me know what options you like best. I'll be, of course, right back here tomorrow. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gestford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkelsingle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weiss, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilch Zillertson, Large Charles, Jake Conner, Will Glass, and Imperium Collectibles. See you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.